It is well. Heavenly Father, once again we approach your throne this day, thanking you, Father, for the blessings that we've enjoyed, for our worship of you this morning, and being able to be here to worship you again tonight. We thank you, Father, for the blessings of this day, and that we've been able to study your word, we've been able to gather around the table to remember your son, to sing songs of praises and pray to you. And Father, we pray that to strengthen our lives and help us to be better citizens in your kingdom. Thank you for the health that we have, that we have been able to be here, and Father, we are mindful of those that were mentioned here today, of our friends, our loved ones that are sick, our neighbors. Father, we pray that those that need your help and your care, you will administer to them in such a way that they'll regain their health.
Amen.
And we say a special prayer, Father, tonight for Frank and Diane.
Yes.
And their mishap and the problems they go through. We can only ask you, Father, to bless them in such a way that the doctors and nurses can care for them, that they can regain their health.
Amen.
We pray that they can have a speedy recovery, Father, and we pray that you'll watch over them. And for James, his father, who is suffering from his problems, Father, we ask you to bless him in such a way that, and his family, help him, Father, to recover to the best. We pray that he'll be strong, that he can regain his health. But Father, if he is failing, we pray that you can be with the family and strengthen them and help them in every way. Help us to be a blessing to all of those that are sick, and Father, not only here, but even throughout the world. Thank you, Father, so much for the church that meets here at this place. Father, we pray that we can grow spiritually and in number, that we can carry on the work here in this community as you would have us to do. We're grateful for Brother Robert, Sister James, they work here. Again, Father, we pray for them that much good can be done for them being
Amen.
With us.
Amen.
Help us, Father, in our lives to do our part to strengthen the church here, to encourage others, and to be examples that needs to be set forth for others to see. And Father, we pray that we can do the work here. We pray for the church throughout the world, even at this time of pandemic when the preachers can't go and visit with them. Father, we pray that they'll remain strong and faithful to you. And we pray that your work can once again begin again and Father, to carry on throughout even the world. We thank you for the land which we live, Father, for the freedoms that we enjoy, and for the bounty that we have. For a land where we can come and go as we please and can worship you, Father, we pray that it will remain such. And we know that there are those out there that would like to kill all of the actions that we have today. Father, we pray that you'll help us to defeat them in such a way that we can remain a free country and have the freedom to worship as we're supposed to. Thank you for the men and women that serve in the armed forces. Father, we pray that you'll watch over them, keep them from harm's way. Father, we ask you to bless the families as they worry about these that are serving in foreign countries. Thank you for the first responders, the doctors, the nurses, all those that care for us, for they've worked so hard during the pandemic. Strengthen them and help them to carry on. And Father, we pray this pandemic can come to an end. Thank you so much for caring for us the way that you do. For the blessings that we receive every day, we realize, Father, that they come from you. And we pray that we'll use them in such a way that it will glorify your name here on this earth. Thank you for your Son who came into the world, died on the cross for us, taught us the things that you'd have us to know, and Father, we'll come again to gather his children. Help us always, Father, to do your will. And there are times, Father, that we realize that we do sin, that we miss the mark, that we don't intentionally want to hurt you or to go against you or do things against you, but Father, it happens. And we realize it, and we don't want to be that way, Father, and we pray that you'll forgive us, strengthen us, and help us to be justified in your sight. Go with us on through this service, Lord, and down through life, and help us always to look to you for our help and hope to be our guide. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I hear about Bill Franklin, and I know that their family is deeply in prayer, and so are we, about their recovery to be done. I'm presuming they'd have a real big hospital there in that part of the world. And if not, there's got to be one closer by, that Florence, Alabama, somewhere around there. Huntsville, I feel like, has got a big hospital and a big set of doctors that care for them. This evening, I move on in our series of studies about the Lord and His church to the warning that He gave us and that His apostles gave us about division that was going to come. They made no secret about the fact that there would be division that would come about. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, to the church at Ephesus, Paul said, "Blessed are you, and blessed are you the flock of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And he noted to them that there would come about divisions, problems that would be there. They had already come about with one set of problems. In Acts chapter 6, we'll read about the Grecian widows that were thought to be neglected in the daily ministration of food and substance. And they were complaining about that, something that later on Simon Peter would say, "Don't complain. Come to the Lord about that matter. Be a person who prays about that situation and get involved in that situation." But they were complainers. And word came to the apostles that they were complaining. And so the apostles did a wise thing. They said, "You choose from among yourselves 7 men full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, that we may appoint over, we will apostles will appoint over this matter." And they went out and they chose Stephen to begin with, and others along the list that were be helpful to them in that situation. And they were men who were that way. They looked out among them who were neglected, so to speak, and they helped them in that way. The division that was there was avoided because of the speedy action of the apostles on that occasion. The next time we read of a division, we read of a warning about it in Romans chapter 16, verse 16. "Salute one another, holy kiss." Paul writes to them. "Salute one another, holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." Mark those who cause division. And mark doesn't mean to cast them out of the church. Mark means to take notice of them. Know who they are, because they teach not our Lord Jesus Christ, but they teach their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, They deceive the hearts of the simple. There are deceivers that will come. And Paul says they will come in such a way as to be wonderful orators and speakers, and they'll convince people if you give them time. They might even convince you. But mark those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine ye have learned of us, he says. You've learned that doctrine of us. We taught you the truth. We taught you the full measure of the truth. And you watch those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine we have taught you, and avoid them. Don't stay around them and listen intently. Avoiding means not to hear at all. You can hear them, but you can compare it to the truth that I've taught you. You can see what the error is involved with that. And by and by you'll be able to see that they speak these words for their own belly's sake. For their own getting money, getting food, substance, things like that, for their own belly's sake. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the simple among you, the least among the church. So there would be divisions that would come about. And those divisions would be warnings that they could do that. In the book of Colossians, in chapter 1 of Colossians, and verse number 16 beginning, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, which now hath he reconciled." You were what kind of people before? You were enemies of the Lord. You were enemies in your mind. What we talk about this morning in regard to our having the Lord bless us with overcoming. Let's go back to that verse and think about what it said there. It said there that he would forgive us of our sins, 1 John 1:9. He would forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's an unrighteous thing right there. And he's saying your mind by wicked works, unrighteous things, but now you reconcile in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded. If you continue in the faith grounded. Were they always going to do that? Just in a few years later, there would be major divisions among them. Instead of recognizing Paul's teaching about the place of faith in Christ and baptism into his death, and being raised to walk in newness of life, they would seriously doubt that matter. And they would come to sprinkle infants and adults. And because they used a little bit of water, they would call upon God to recognize that as forgiveness of sin. Instead of the burial into the death of Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, they would change that over into the sprinkling and the sprinkling effect upon those telling them that they were saved in their infancy or saved in their youth or saved as they came forth. There was another situation that they would do. They would have an auricular confession. By the year 300, they came about that auricular. Auric means, auric means to speak into the ear. To speak into the ear. So if you speak into the ear of the priest, who acknowledged that priest? Who acknowledged that particular worker in the church? He acknowledged himself. And when he heard that in the auricular confession, he knew something about somebody's life that they didn't wish others to hear. They whispered in his ear. And he was able to tell others, this person has been made right before God. This person has been made right before God. And they were all convinced that that was the way to do it. But what do we see here? We see here that in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable inside, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul said, I preach the full gospel of Christ. It's recorded in the books of the New Testament. Paul said, I preach this full gospel of Christ. It is the way. And he says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. I have suffered because of the teaching that I gave you in truth. And I'm glad that I did, because it's been a blessing by way of his body. I've honored the body of Christ. And he says, verse 25 of Colossians 1, wherefore I am made a minister according to the discipline of God, dispensation of God, which is given unto me to fulfill the word of God. What you going to fulfill, Paul? Even the mystery, the plan, which hath now been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. What was made manifest? That was the mystery, the plan of God. It's been now made known. And I'm making this known to you, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It would involve not only Jews, but also Gentiles, which is in Christ, in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, complete in Christ Jesus. Who, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his workings, which worketh in me mightily. He believed that the Lord was with him and was a part of his life, even stating to the point, but the Lord delivered me, when he was challenged by the various ones. But the Lord delivered me. He believed in the Lord. That I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have been seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom we hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. What kind of words did Paul note to the Romans that they would hear? Words, fair speeches, deceiving the hearts of the simple. Here he talks about enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. They've stayed in the faith. They stayed in the teaching of the Lord. And we have therefore received Christ Jesus our Lord. So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith that ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Indeed, the faith was the way to go. No wonder it is then that when we get to the book of Jude in the latter part of the New Testament time, we have Jude writing, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord, and called, mercy unto you in peace and love, be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was necessary, needful, for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. What did they state in Colossae and Laodicea? They'd stayed in the faith. They had honored the faith. God had blessed them in the faith. And they were to honor that way, not fall away from it. There would be those who would fall away. And they would, with enticing words, seek to persuade them. Come away from that and come with me. Come away from that and come with me. And that's the idea that they had in the way. He says, this was once delivered to the saints. The faith which was once delivered to the saints. That once delivered is used another time in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. When it is said, man is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. That means once for all time. Once for the rest of time. It's there, and he's saying here, this faith was once delivered to the saints. It was delivered to them to practice and to do, and there was going to come terrible things. He says, verse 4, for there certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. The Hebrew writer writes regarding that faith that they missed. They didn't believe in God like they should. Probably would have argued with you and me about his existence and knowing that God exists. And they would have crowned us with the idea that you don't believe that God exists. Surely you know that God exists. But they didn't believe in him in the sense of doing his will on a day-to-day basis. They didn't believe that that was the way to do it. And that's a shameful thing. Tonight, I wanted to introduce this particular study to you to note the idea that division was coming, and it was going to be there within the apostles' lifetime. One more passage I've got to share with you tonight as a close, and that's in the book of Revelation. In chapter 16 of Revelation, it is noted beginning verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, who art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him, and he scorched men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. Why do we have religious division in the world today, in the massive numbers that we have? The massive group of churches that we have in the Protestant movement. When the day came that finally you had a man who in the priesthood who was there hearing the auricular confessions and looking in the Bible, he couldn't find that that was the teaching that the Lord said would bring about the righteousness of man. He could read in Philippians 3 where Paul said, it's not my own righteousness that has made me okay before God. It's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how he suffered for us. And how we give him glory and praise. And he began to write down notes of everything he couldn't read in the scripture. And when he got to 95, they called 95 theses, articles of belief that are not in the scripture. What did he have? The date is easy enough for us to remember. It's the date that we celebrate the Halloween time with our children, with candy and things like that. October 31st in the 1500s. He marched out of his house one day, living in Wittenberg, Germany. Spelled with a W. Wittenberg, Germany. And he marched up to the church house. The public bulletin board in that day and time was the front door of the church. When people came to the church for various motives, but when they came to the church, they'd first look at the bulletin board to see if, in fact, the priest was inside, that their message was okay today, and they could go on in. And he nailed a piece of paper, more than that, a piece of leather, that had these 95 points of disagreement, challenging the priesthood and the Pope to show him, please, in the scripture, wherein these teachings were found. 1500 years beyond the time of Christ, that was done. Men took his words and decided that they would do divisions of their own. And there would be things that they would disagree with him about, and they would set them up. And all the denominational bodies came about as a result of that particular activity. Some would baptize for the remission of sins. Some would sprinkle. Some would pour water upon the head. They would all thereby do their own will and their own teaching. That's the message that we see in the scripture regarding division. Notice what's said there in the book of Revelation 16. God told them and talked to them about it. His word was true to them, and they believed not what he said. That's why the division has continued on today. And we still meet people today that just can't believe it's that way. I've studied with individuals that say, I see what you're saying there, and I see what it says there in the scripture, but I just can't believe it, that people have missed it all these years. Our church is a big church, it's a big group, and I just can't leave it. My mama was part of it. My daddy was a part of it. I am a part of it now. I just cannot leave it. Our prayers are for them to come to their realization of God's Word and the teaching of the Word of God about religious division, how it was not to be done. But it was done because they did not believe in what he had said. God bless you all. Let's sing our song. Every day.
you, Father, for this bread, the symbol of our Savior's body that was hung upon that cross in our stead. Pray that those who partake may do so in a manner pleasing to thee. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you, Father, for this cup, the symbol of our Savior's blood that was shed upon that cross in our stead. We pray that those who partake will examine themselves and do so and partake in a manner pleasing to thee. This we ask in Jesus' name. Not forget, we have a men's business meeting in a few moments. Today with the Orphans Lifeline Sunday, we had $850 donated plus what the church will, so we'll have a nice donation being sent their way tomorrow.
Good.
Do we have any other announcements? Let's turn to number 43.
Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine! Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen.